on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Good morning, everybody. So for those of you who don't know, Tammy and I were out of town this past week. Did get to go see my mama yesterday. That's one of the unpleasant perks of preaching, is you never see your own mother on Mother's Day. But that's okay. Glad to see all the folks we do have here this morning. So let me start off asking you a question. When did you last pray? I don't mean just a mere formality. I mean, when did you last really pour your heart out in a conversation to God? Let me ask you a more important question. How effective would you rate your own prayer life? Would you say it's very good? Or yeah, not so much. Now, I know we spoke on the model prayer last week, and I know that Luke 11 is Luke's recording of the model prayer as it was recorded in Matthew 6, but don't panic, this is two different sermons, sort of, anyway, same material. But these are two very different occasions. Matthew is recording a teaching of Jesus very early in his ministry in a very public sermon. And Luke is recording the same exact teaching in a very private setting to just his disciples. It's clearly two different incidents in which Jesus uses largely the exact same words. Now, this shouldn't surprise us because Jesus was an itinerant preacher, which means he traveled from place to place to place and gave the same message over 10 or maybe even 100 times. And so his disciples were always hearing repetitive material. Those who traveled with him heard the same stuff over and over again. And so, if Jesus is going to teach about prayer, we could expect him to use the same material. By the way, that might instruct us a little bit. We talked, or at least read the verse last week, about avoiding vain repetition in prayer. It's not an admonition against repetition. It's an admonition against vain or useless or empty repetition. There's nothing wrong with being repetitive before God. We'll come back to that at the end of the sermon. But Jesus is using the same material at clearly two different circumstances, and I think that in and of itself is important for us. He starts out, he's praying on his own, and clearly the disciples see something in that prayer life of Jesus, which coincidentally, Luke mentions the prayer life of Jesus more than any other gospel. They see something and they're like, Lord, teach us to do that. John taught his guys. clearly they are saying that they perceive John and Jesus to have active, effective prayer lives. These boys grew up in a Jewish home knowing how to pray. They prayed all the time, and yet they could perceive that something was different in the way that Jesus prayed from the way they were taught even as little boys. So, Lord, teach us to do that. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who is in heaven. I'm sure at this point, Peter's wanting to go, yeah, we heard that one before, Lord. It didn't help us first time. But Jesus is doubling down on something he's already given them. In essence, what Jesus is saying here is, I've already told you how to do this. I haven't changed my mind. We tend to make prayer something mysterious, and Jesus is saying, no, it's way more simple and straightforward than you make it out to be. Just like I've told you and told you and told you, it's like I've always told you. Prayer has a sort of plan, a format, if you will. Now, be careful, because our modern English mind is going to turn that concept into something the Bible's not implying. We noted last week that people still refer to this prayer as the model prayer because Jesus does give it twice. But what is he modeling for us? That's the question I'm asking this morning. What is he modeling for us? What pattern is Jesus developing that he would give the same exact prayer in two very different circumstances at two very different times in his ministry? And in this particular circumstance in Luke, he's giving it to teach his disciples who want a better prayer life. Well, the prayer itself has some differences. I'm not going to highlight those differences this morning. I want to highlight the similitudes. And so some of this is going to be some of what you heard last week, but again, repetition might help us. And Jesus is pointing out that prayer always begins with an acknowledgement of who God is. He's our Father. Let's just stop there for a minute. Last week I said we always pray for our children. How about we pray as children? Do you know that God is never called Father in the Old Testament, yet it's clearly Jesus' favorite term for him? Father. Not Your Honor. I've heard some prayers that should have been started with Your Honor. To whom it may concern, right? Dear Sir on the Board of Chairmen. Okay, all right. I know that nobody conceives of prayer in that way, but we act like it even though we don't say it. In combination, a month ago, with God talking, I said, some of us have the recognition that I've messed up, my dad's going to kill me, is way different than, man, I've blown it, I need to talk to my daddy. And when Jesus starts off with Father, he's clearly not afraid of him. And he doesn't want us to be afraid of him. It's not a cold, detached, emotionless project that we're undertaking. We're not checking something off a list. We're talking to somebody who loves us. We're talking to somebody whom we love. Our God is a good, good Father. But again, Jesus points out that prayer has to be built around this concept of keeping his name holy, of honoring him. Yes, he's our Father, but he's a Father that deserves more honor than our earthly father. Now, I love my dad. My mom is still here with me. My dad is gone beyond the bar. I don't mean this in some Eastern weirded out way. I still talk to my dad. I was very close to my daddy. Called him Pop as he got older. We've transferred that from Grandpa to him after Grandpa died. But I still call him Dad. Some of you don't have your mothers with you anymore. You know what I'm talking about this morning. You think of your mom on a regular basis. You still talk to your mom. I will do the same. I was very close and am very close to both my parents and all four of my grandparents. Yet it's nothing, nothing. As much as I love my daddy, there is no comparison between how much I love him and how much I love my God. And my father never took that as a slap in the face. Not only did he support that, he taught me that from the time I was a little boy. You should respect me. Respecting your heavenly father is way different. And so we want to count this relationship as something special. But this morning, I think here's the point. Because they start off with the question or the acknowledgement, the inquiry, Lord, would you teach us to pray like that? That implies something about their own personal prayer life. And when Jesus gives them the same exact advice, he might be telling them, yeah, you probably ought to work on how holy you keep God. If you want your prayer life to be better, maybe you should start with that. Because how would it affect my prayer life if I'm not honoring him? I can go through the motions all day long. I can repeat all the right words. I can say all the right phrases. That's how a lot of folks teach prayer. You got to start it the right way and you got to end it the right way. What's the right way to end a prayer? In Jesus' name, everybody knows that, except for Jesus. It's amazing how some people think they're more religious than Jesus is. I always love that one. For Jesus, this isn't about religion. It's about a relationship. I know my God loves me, and I love him right back, and I talk to him like that. And as part of that love, I'm promising to do his will. I'm promising to keep his name holy. But then we also noted three other principles last week. We are relying on God for our needs, for our forgiveness, and for our direction. Prayer accepts his kingdom, his rule in my life, but it also is an acknowledgement that he provides everything for me. And I need that. I'm admitting my dependence, as we discussed last week. Prayer always handles this idea of sin as well. Father, forgive me when I sin. Forgive us when we sin. And we'll also pledge to forgive those who sin against us. Might surprise you, Jesus' disciples have the power. We have the power to forgive sin. But what Jesus is highlighting here is not only that, he's highlighting you should have a firsthand knowledge that you need forgiveness. And if you need it, maybe you shouldn't be stingy with it when somebody else does. And we should never be tight-fisted in granting to others what God is so freely bestowing upon us, whether it's our daily bread, our forgiveness, or our direction, our leading. Because ultimately, when we ask for our daily bread or forgiveness or a leading, what we're telling God is we need your help. And I didn't say this word last week on purpose. I wanted to save it for today. All this is wrapped up from the first word to the last word in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. This is summed up with one word that's not even mentioned in the prayer, and that's humility. And if you want to pattern your prayers more effectively, start with a humble heart. Which is why this name it and claim it stuff is so anathema to me. I just can't conceive of anything more counterintuitive to what Jesus is teaching us here. We should have a boldness, a confidence before God, but it's not based on us. It's based on Him. Because we need help down here. We're not doing it right. In case you hadn't figured it out yet, prayer is an acknowledgement that we need help. And we need help because we're His children and we're lost without our Father. And so if you wanted to talk about a pattern of prayer, you should talk about its humility. I got so wrapped up, I was so ready to preach this sermon after having a week away. Here, I'll let you look at that slide. That was the slide you were supposed to be seeing. Take a good look at it. Pattern of prayer, the pattern of prayer is not all the particulars, it's the humility. That's what I was driving at. All right. Then we get in beyond the prayer, just like last week, beyond the prayer, Jesus had some advice, and that advice was about how important forgiveness is. This time he gets beyond the prayer, and he's still teaching them how to pray, and he gives this rather lengthy discussion in verses 5 through 13. It's a very different discussion than you find listed in Matthew 6, because it's a very different circumstance. But here's what Jesus is highlighting in most of it. We have a good Father. We should want to talk to Him. You want your children to talk to you? Which one of you, if your children came and asked you something, would you give them something horrible? If you want your children to talk to you, maybe you should consider talking to your Father. Jesus is making another point here in verses 5 through 12. God's not limited. He's not out of the loop. He doesn't need this information from you. What He wants is the conversation itself. If prayer were just a matter of imparting news to God, it would have a very different characteristic altogether. But it's not about imparting news to God, because He doesn't need us to give Him news. He wants us to give Him devotion. You have not because you ask not, James says. And then even when you ask amiss because you're counting on getting your own goodies for yourself. And Jesus is saying the exact opposite. James, by the way, is the brother of Jesus, just in case you didn't know that. So I'm sure he's hearing some of this early teachings of Jesus. We should be asking. That was, I mentioned the plan of prayer. I think that was probably the first way I was taught to pray as a little boy. As a little boy, my dad gave me an acronym, ASK. The A stood for adoration, the S stood for supplication, and the K stood for knowledge. I want to know God, I want Him to know me. It's personal knowledge, intimate knowledge. So I remembered that from the time I was a little boy. I would remember that acronym, and when I prayed, I kind of made sure I was adoring God and supplicating to God and trying to know God better. That's how I learned to pray even as a little boy. It's how I taught my son initially. Got a little older, I added a C and a T in there, Acts, the book of Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So you can do this all the different ways that are out there. And having a primer for little kids is understandable. Having a primer for new Christians is understandable. But at some point, you've got to get beyond the ABCs, and you've got to get into what the real point is. And Jesus is telling us the real point in this explanation is, you have a good father. You should trust him. You should talk to him. The plan is not about checklists. The plan is a relationship. Jesus is emphasizing the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. Which, interestingly enough, in English, make the acronym ASK. Jesus is emphasizing his 2 points from the prayer. In his explanation in verses 5 through 13, he's emphasizing the same 2 points. God is powerful. That is to say, he's sovereign, he's able, he's capable, he's loving. You should be humble and admit you have needs. And so we see Jesus reflecting on those same 2 points in his explanation. If you want a better prayer life, you need to acknowledge who God is, and you need to acknowledge your own humility. Something else my father taught me, this probably more came from my mama. I was thinking of it in relationship to Mother's Day. Where you're going is always more important than where you've been. I guess as a little boy, I always had the proclivity to be introspective, to look back, and they were trying to get me to look forward. I don't know. It worked out pretty good until maybe 2005, and then I just shut down. Tammy's now finally getting me to look forward and be an optimist again. But praying with an idea to looking to a great future with your father is what Jesus is highlighting here. Look at where he's taking you. Yes, you can look at where he's brought you from. That's not out of the picture, but we're highlighting where he's taking us. And praying like this gives me hope and relief. Because prayer isn't about my capability. If I want a better prayer life, I don't learn how to do things better. I learn how to let God do things more. I am truly casting all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Now, I don't want to ignore one thing here that I thought Evan did an excellent job of highlighting in the reading, and that is this word persistent. Because the fellow who wants bread from his neighbor is persistent. Tammy and I were talking about this yesterday, and she said, I don't know that that illustration works anymore because, man, if my neighbor got up and asked me for bread in the middle of the night because they had guests, I'd just tell them to go away and I wouldn't answer the door. I don't care how long they knocked. No, she didn't quite say it that way. But yeah, you would. I come to your house tonight. And I say, there's somebody out here. I have an emergency. Would you let me use your phone? You might first say, get your cell phone out of your pocket, you big dumb idiot. But if I keep knocking, you're going to realize somebody really needs help and you're going to answer the door. But Jesus' point is still valid. If I just keep on knocking, whether you think the need is necessary or not, guess what you're eventually going to do? And if you, being evil, will answer because of someone's persistence, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, answer because you are persistent. Those two stories are not disconnected, they are highly connected. By the way, I think it's interesting that Jesus is emphasizing our own evil nature here. We like to pretend we're all good. That's hurting our prayer as well. If you stop pretending you're all that good and start acknowledging that compared to God, I'm pretty evil, you'll get a lot farther in your prayer life. But that's just an aside. Prayer is supposed to be persistent. In Luke 18:1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Now, there's a lot of other things we could say about prayer, and we'll get to them eventually, maybe not this month, but eventually. But Jesus' point here is quite simple. You should enjoy getting near to your Heavenly Father. That's the bottom line in everything that he said last week in Matthew 6, and in a very different context today, that's the bottom line of everything he's saying in Luke 11. You should enjoy getting close to your Father. You need it, but it should move beyond need to where you just enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, you will no longer need anyone to teach you how to pray. I want to conclude with one last thought from verse 13. And to me, this does nothing more than make it absolute certain. So he wraps up that our Heavenly Father is going to give us what we ask for. And then he says, therefore, you should ask the Father. Because everyone who asks him, he gives them his Spirit. So yes, prayer acknowledges who God is. Prayer acknowledges that we have need, that we need help, that we should be humble. Yes, our Father is absolutely good. We can trust him. But verse 13 makes this clear that we're moving beyond that. We're moving to an intimate relationship, the most intimate relationship possible for us. What if the purpose in prayer is not getting the answers? What if the purpose is growing closer to God? Then verse 13 makes sense. I'll give you a little piece of myself. What if that promised Holy Spirit is the reward Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 6? You can get lots of rewards from prayer. The reward God wants to give you is a closer relationship with Him. He wants to give you His Spirit. That's what He wants to give you. Let me make this as clear as I can. The relational aspect of prayer is the plan in and of itself. That's what Jesus is telling you here. The whole plan is that you get closer to the Father. That's it. That's the plan. Yeah, but we could do this wrong, or we could do that right, or we need to do it this way, or we need to do it that way. Well, friend, if you want to grow closer to the Father, you're going to eventually add all that in there as you find out what He's wanting. That's not a problem with me. But the point is not the particulars. The point is the relationship. And so at its bottom line, prayer is point blank just getting closer to God. We should glorify Him. We should humble ourselves. But these are not to be regimented checklists. They are the obvious truths that a trusting child will accept. Now that my children are in their 30s, I no longer have to work for them to love me. But when my children were in their 20s, and a lot of you have been there, I'm going to get some amens on this. I can't get an amen on anything else, but I can get it on this. Your kids thought you were the dumbest creature that walked the face of the earth. Don't worry, honey, your days are coming. Oh, Morgan's trying to say no. I didn't think. She looked at her daddy and go, blah, 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 I didn't ever do that. But your day's coming too, sis. Just trust me. I love my daddy. There was a day and a time I still thought he was the dumbest man walking the face of the earth. But when I was real little, I never could have conceived not being proud of my parents. And now that I'm really old, I can't possibly imagine how badly I will beat you up if you try to make me not proud of my parents. And that's only one millionth of how proud I am of God. And that's the point of prayer. Having an ABCs of prayer is fine, but there's more to it than that. And learning to love God is way more important than checking things off the list. And so if you're ever called on to pray in front of other people, don't worry about the checklist. Just pour your heart out to a Father who loves you. Talk to God. He will send you help, but more importantly, He will send you the helper. Because more than anything else, what God wants is for you to be close to Him. And that is how you learn to pray well. Lord, teach us to pray. Okay. Get close to God, you'll do fine. He's going to give you what you need to make that journey possible. You don't have to look back at all the things you've blown. Look forward to what He's giving you. And He's giving you Himself. And when you realize that, your prayer life will be frequent and full. It'll be powerful and effective. Because you will no longer be building your prayer life on your righteousness, your little checklist. You'll be building it on His righteousness. And that will make all the difference in your prayer life. Who is not close to God this morning? He's ready for you to be closer. Ask, seek, knock. The answer will be given. The treasure will be found. The door will be opened. That's what the Father wants. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.